Good morning, it's Dan again, and I guess I'm on a roll, I suppose, or I'm shaped like a roll, or I've eaten too many rolls, and yeah, I think I need to go for a walk today, just a separate topic, but related. But it's Dan, and I'm in Little Saigon, Seattle, and it's still February the 23rd, 2019. And I do not know how long this podcast will be, but it has a very specific topic in a sense, and it has to do with the word fuck. Now, I've received feedback from friends and family, framily. I've received feedback from strangers near and far. And although much of it's been positive, every once in a while somebody says, "Dan, Dan, Dan, we would really listen to your message, with greater ease if you didn't use the word fuck or any of the other dirty words, right? Like shit. Shit's a bad word, or bitch. You shouldn't say the word bitch, but I really want to stay on topic to the word fuck. Now, I'm not going to go into some half-ass discussion of the history of comedy. I don't want to mention the man Lenny Bruce or George Carlin. If you don't know who these motherfuckers were, and I mean that in a nice way, because sometimes motherfucker can mean something endearing if you grew up in the world I grew up in. If you don't know who Lenny Bruce was, I suggest you research Lenny Bruce. I suggest you research the words of George Carlin. George Carlin. Lots of good videos on YouTube with George Carlin in it. And yes, these men are both dead, and they were both white, and at least one of them was a Jew, and I couldn't give a fuck. But this podcast is about the word fuck. Now, before I go too far into the word fuck, I have to tell you that my battery's running low. So I'm going to pause here for a second and switch technologies if that's okay. So during that brief interlude, interspace, interstitial region of magic that gets edited by Audacity, and as a side note, of all the audio editors out there, Audacity, which is kind of an open source project, but it is definitely free, it's fucking awesome. I mean, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on an Apple computer with GarageBand, if you run Linux at home as I do, because you say fuck you to Microsoft and fuck you to Google, fuck you, Apple, you fuck, then Audacity is a great little audio editor. I highly recommend it. Fucking A. But yes, on the topic of the word fuck, the word fuck means many things. Now, as you may or may not know, because this may be the first podcast of mine you've listened to, I am a proponent of this outmoded concept called free speech. So, yeah, in general, and I just took a sip of water, so I wasn't eating a baby like George Soros. So yeah, I support free speech, and so I don't spend a lot of time trying to censor myself too much. I do have limits. If you want to know where my limits are, these are the boundaries. Number one, I try not to document people in my podcast, with a few exceptions. If there are people that I feel you should look out for, like the Goat King, for example, that you should avoid like the fucking plague, yeah. Every once in a while, I mention them, but these are people who have made themselves public figures, who have become motherfuckers. And now I mean that in a bad way, because motherfucker, sometimes that word can mean bad, really bad. These motherfuckers deserve it, and I feel no guilt. But there are other people, decent people, kind people, people that may not be perfect, but are undeserving of my wrath and are not public figures. Ergo, I use aliases, I use code words. I sometimes call them my friend. And in that context, friend can mean sibling, brother, sister, actual friend, even a stranger who did a kind thing to me. I will say friend. So, yes, number one, I try to avoid documenting people that don't deserve it. Number two, there are topics I do consider grotesque. Now, does that mean I want to pass a law? Pass a law and have cops break down your door if you discuss them? No. But I think pedophilia is gross, so you're not going to hear me talking about that. In fact, I'll try to avoid using the word fuck ever in the context of children. Except to explain that that's just not me. So if it has to do with the victimization of children, of innocent people, if it has to do with the arbitrary violence directed against others, if it has to do with promoting the bully mentality, even if you think you're on the right side of history, you know, somebody fucking commented on one of my podcasts with a link to the Unabomber rant, assuming that somehow I and the Unabomber had something in common, and that's fucking bullshit. I do not care what ideas you profess. You may be the most brilliant motherfucker, and I mean that now in a nice way to explain the semantics. You may be the most brilliant motherfucker in fucking history, and if you spend all day making little wooden bombs in your shack in the woods, and you send them to people's homes to kill them, then you're a fucking piece of shit. And the word fuck now is as a modifier, a negative one, an adjective, right? You are a fucking piece of shit. If you think that violence and being a bully is a good way to win an argument, you're a fucking piece of shit, period. Not that I don't believe violence is sometimes necessary in self-defense, but if you think you're going to promote your philosophy by going around blowing people up, then yeah, you're a fucking asshole. And I just used a couple dirty words there, didn't I? I used fucking and asshole in a sentence. So yes, number one, only document the people that are public figures and or need to be watched out for, which means you're trying to warn your fellow chimpanzees that there's a fucker in the little chimpanzee kingdom and stay the fuck away from him. Number two, I avoid trying to talk about issues where it sounds like I'm even remotely supporting violence against other people, but specifically innocent people, people who require our defense, our love, our acceptance. I even hate Danish people, and I really do. I mean, maybe you think that's a fucking joke. Maybe you do. But I really am not a huge fan of Denmark or Danish people. I think there's something screwy in that dread little country, and it ain't just from, you know, a play by Shakespeare. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. And even then, I would say, probably this is tongue-in-cheek, and probably it's because I would really like to visit Tivoli one day. I'd love to go to Denmark and have some kringla, you know, by one of the canals. Probably it masks an unconscious desire to marry some beautiful Danish woman. We really don't know and we really don't care. But even in that case, as stated, number two, I avoid and eschew topics where it remotely looks like I'm promoting violence and abuse. Not because I believe in censorship, but because I'm opposed to being a fucking asshole. But other than those first two issues, I think pretty much everything's on the table. I'm not afraid of words. Clearly, based upon feedback, some of you are afraid of the word fuck. So let's talk about what the word fuck means. Well, one of the obvious vernacular usages of the word fuck is to relate to sex, having sex with someone, or in more prosaic days, making love. But in this Tinder, gender, techno-freak world of chipping yourself and shipping yourself, in the world of hookups and booty calls, calling it making love seems like a lot of poetic bullshit. Young people don't make love these days, they fuck. They fuck each other in multiple different ways. And frankly speaking, as long as it's voluntary, as long as it's consenting adults, I don't give a fuck who you fuck. But yes, one of the meanings of the word fuck is to have sex. Another meaning of the word fuck is some type of bullshit or chaos. In fact, you know, during the Vietnam War, and it may have started as a kind of military unofficial acronym or unofficial term before then, But during the Vietnam War, people would say things like Chinese fire drill or Charlie Foxtrot, you know, Chinese fire drill or Charlie Foxtrot. But they also meant clusterfuck. For example, one of my favorite blogs that is written by James Howard Kunstler, and he's an amazing fuck, and I mean that in a nice way right now. Mr. Kunstler has a bi-weekly blog called Clusterfuck Nation. And truly, in this case, he is using the word fuck correctly. He is using the phrase or, you know, nomenclature clusterfuck 100% correctly. And who the fuck am I to criticize a man who could outright me 20 times a day, 50 times a week? Yeah, that would make me a fucking jerk. So yeah, you know, the word fuck means kind of sex, and the word fuck also means some type of atrocious bullshit, like saying this is a fuck, or this is a fuckaroo. If you want to be kind of Shakespearean in your use of the word fuck, you can say this is a fuckaroo. That's a line, I think, from that film Dreamcatcher. I think it's based upon a Steven Spielberg story. I kind of like the movie, and at one point, one of the main characters says fuckaroo. I like that phrase because there are a lot of fuckaroos out there. So yes, fuck means sex, and fuck means this is bogus as fuck. This is so bogus, so ridiculous, so stupid. We have to say it's a fuck. Fuck can also refer to a person. Like when you say this is a fuck, and really when you say this is a fuck, you want to take it beyond asshole. Like, asshole tells you a lot. It tells you that a person is akin to the opening in your anus where the turds, pile out. That's essentially the asshole. The asshole is a place where your poop exits the body. And so when you call someone an asshole, you're clearly being derogatory. But if you really want to be derogatory in a more succinct way and you're in a hurry, you can just say someone's a fuck. That guy's a fuck. Or if you want to be really politically incorrect and modify that, you can say they're a fucktard, which implies they're not just an asshole, but they're a stupid asshole. You fucktard. So if I ever call someone in a podcast, and hopefully I'm using aliases unless they're a scumbag you need to know about, I might say fucktard. And what that really means is they're not just an asshole, but they're a notoriously stupid fucking asshole. Fuck. And that brings us to our next meaning. I guess technically it would be our fourth meaning, but I'm not going to keep track of that fucking number after that because it's a stream of consciousness fucking bullshit. But the fourth meaning is, well, shit. You know, I kicked my foot on a stone or shit. Like last, you know, actually it wasn't last week. Was it last week? I think it was this week. No, it was this week. Yeah, one fucking day bleeds into the next when you're unemployed. But this week, I was walking down the fucking sidewalk in Little Saigon on 12th Avenue, and I fucking tripped. And I fucking tripped, and I fucking fell forward, and I scraped myself up, and thankfully, other than a little bit of a fucking concussion, because you know your brain can suffer concussion even without a visible head injury. A lot of NFL football players and professional boxers fucking know this. But at the time, I said, fuck. And fuck in that context means shit, or rather, it means, damn it, God, why did you do this to me? And so, you know, I'm a Christian, so I know there are Christians who would say, well, Dan, when you use the word fuck, God gets upset. I think you need to read your Old Testament, please, because there are many things in the Old Testament where I am very much convinced whatever the Hebrew word is or the equivalent is for fuck, they said it, okay? I hate to break it to you, but there's some dark fucking shit in the Old Testament. And if some of that shit happened to me, I might not be as peaceful and as balanced as Job. Job was an amazing motherfucker, and now I'm using motherfucker in a nice way. Job put up with a lot of shit, and Job had all sorts of trouble sent his direction by Satan because, you know, it's like Satan was off the chain. There's that big wager between God and Satan says, listen, you let me at that fucking asshole, Job, and I'll make him curse your name. And God being amazing, and I won't say the F word because it's God. But God being infinite, amazing, for blessing us all with life, but God also being courageous and eminently wise and loving a good game, God said, okay, Satan, you go ahead. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. You go ahead and tempt my child Job. You tempt my servant Job. You see if you can't get him to curse my name. So yeah, Job was amazing. And Job probably tripped and fell a lot during those years, in addition to having boils and his family taken away and his children killed and all of his cattle stolen or slaughtered and all sorts of other horrible crap, including all of his friends and family cursing him for being such a worthless piece of shit. And yet Job did not curse God's name. Which I think is fucking amazing, actually. And I work on that. I work on having the patience of Job. It's hard. It's hard. To have the patience of Job, you have to be willing to put up with a lot of crap. There's a guy I met via my SoundCloud channel, and I will not name his name out of respect. If he ever asked to talk to me, like do an interview, I'd let him do it, but I'm not going to document the guy. But there's a guy who's interacting with me via my SoundCloud channel and email. And he has some stuff he's working on. In fact, if you're a Christian, and you can say a prayer for him, you don't need to know his name. The great thing about God is God knows his name. So if you can say a prayer for my friend, say a prayer for him, but he's suffering from some serious pain, physical pain. This man deals with serious pain, and yet he still goes to work. This man deals with serious pain, and yet he still loves his family. This is a man who may not be Job, but he is Job-like. And for this man, I say, yes, you are an amazing motherfucker, and I'm using that in the nice way. Because motherfucker can, you know, brings us to another meaning beyond fuck, although I want to finish the thought on fuck as a response to shit that happens. People, there's a lot of shit that happens these days that is completely insane. And if you have a soul or a conscience, makes you shake your head so hard that your head's going to pop off. And you want to say fuck. And if you're one of those Christians who believes that swearing is a sense to cursing, is a violation of at least one of the commandments, then I respect that. Believe me, I am a Christian who sins and is not trying to say sinning is okay. I'm not Rasputin. I'm not going to claim that you find God through sin. That is a load of fucking bullshit. But I'm also not convinced that I'm going to go to hell for saying fuck. So with all due respect to all you people out there, yeah, the only thing worse than an F-bomb is an H-bomb. And if you don't get that, fuck off. So certainly fuck means that. Fuck definitely means, why the crap did I just trip? It's probably because I was daydreaming about French bulldogs exploding, which is not entirely false in the case of my trip this week, my trip and fall on 12th Avenue. I think I was thinking about a story I wanted to write, and one feature of the story is French bulldogs would spontaneously explode. And if you can tell, and you've listened to my podcasts, I'm not a huge fan of French bulldogs. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. It doesn't mean I think you're a bad person if you have a French bulldog. I kind of feel sorry for you. But no, I'm not a huge fan. And if you're out there, Beans, and I am documenting his name, Beans. If you're out there, Beans, I love you because I have a friend who I care about, that I do care about and love. And ergo, by some type of transitive closure, I'm going to say, Beans, I love you, but you're a fucking piece of shit, you fuck. Motherfucker, for me, doesn't always mean bad. When I was in the Army, a person might say to me, motherfucker, while we're having a beer downrange in Korea. And so, you know, downrange as nomenclature in the U.S. Army circa 1997-98, if you're stationed in Korea, basically meant going to the little ville or village outside your military camp. And it's basically a bunch of bars in Korea right outside your military base or camp. Because some of these bases were so small, they were called camps. Like I was at Camp Stanley. And outside of Camp Stanley was a little downrangeville, and it was one bar after another. And then we went to Osan at one point, and it was really funny because in Osan there was a little bar, and Osan is where the Air Force base is. It's outside of Seoul. We were there for a dining in, I think. Maybe it was St. Barbara's Day. I don't fucking remember. If you remember some dude standing up singing Frank Sinatra with the Army Band in, I think, December 1997, that might have been fucking me. I don't know. But anyways, there was this bar in Osan we went to called the Boogie Shot. I think it was called the Boogie Shot Snake Bar. And it was run by this old woman. I think she was like an 80 or 90-year-old, really old. Maybe she wasn't 80, but she seemed pretty old, Korean woman. And she would have this jar of very strong alcohol with a snake in it. And it was called a snake shot. And if you drank the snake shot, you could buy a t-shirt that said you did. And when you were trying to build up your courage to drink the shot of alcohol that had a snake, a real snake, a live snake, a dead snake in it, when you were building up the courage to drink this unsanitary alcohol. But if you know alcohol, I mean, how can it be unsanitary, right? But she would yell, "Drink, motherfucker, drink, motherfucker, drink." Now you have to imagine a 75-year-old Korean woman, who's probably pretty drunk herself, screaming at you. You know, she's the bartender. Drink, motherfucker, drink, motherfucker, drink. And when she said that to you, she meant that out of love. When she said motherfucker, she didn't mean that you were literally fucking people's moms. Although, given the nomenclature around the word MILF or mother I'd like to fuck, yeah, maybe. But here's the deal. If you're married to a woman, and you know, you have children with this woman, technically speaking, you are a motherfucker. I'm not trying to be a dick, but that's a technical description of a situation. You might want to say you're making love, and perhaps you do make love once you're married. But when you were hooking up in college, you were all fucking. I'm sorry, you weren't making love. I'm so sorry you don't fucking understand that. But no, motherfucker can actually mean one of two things. It's one of those words that's a lot like the shit that Jacques Derrida became obsessed with when he wrote his famous essay, I think in 1967 or 68, called The Difference, Difference, fucking essay. Jacques Derrida, the father of deconstruction. Motherfucker is a phrase that is imbued with its opposite. So if I say, "I love you, motherfucker," it doesn't mean that I think you're a motherfucker in the sense that you fuck moms. It also doesn't mean that I think you're a crap bag or a crap bird or a shit bird. It means, man, I think you're awesome. So there are times when I was in the army, when we were drunk, someone would say, "Hey, motherfucker, how you doing?" And it's like saying, "Hey, Dan," or "Hey, dude, how are you doing?" But since the business of the military is to blow the fuck out of people, it tends to dehumanize and desensitize you a bit. And since I was never in combat, I never got to know the real motherfuckers. And I mean this in the sense that soldiers who actually had to go do the deed. And if you were to go down range drinking with them and they said motherfucker, they probably meant it with respect. So take it with respect. Every once in a while, someone's going to call you a motherfucker and they don't mean it as an insult. But every once in a while, someone's going to call you a motherfucker and they do mean it as an insult. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for introducing confusion into your fucking existence of Facebook and Twitter apps and your little glowing rectangle that thinks for you because it's a smart device, and I mean that with all fucking respect. No, every once in a while when they say motherfucker, they're going to mean it as an insult too. And they're going to mean that you're a piece of shit. You're a scumbag. You're a motherfucker. It's the phrase you use right before, you know, in the movie, when the good guy blows the brains out of the bad guy. You know, "Here you go, take this motherfucker." Now, like I said, you know, the word fuck, depending upon context, means different things. And thus far, we've learned today, children. Imagine, you know, if any of you fuckers want me to teach public school, as some of you said, "Why don't you go become a public school teacher, you fuck?" You know what? I think you can figure out now why that probably wouldn't work out so well in 2019, you stupid fuck. But please, stop sending me this. I love you. I know you mean well. Some of you are really becoming friends of mine. but stop telling me to become a fucking public school teacher, you fuck. But yeah, we've learned a few things. We've learned that fuck can mean to have sex. We've learned that fuck can refer to a situation or a person. We've learned that fuck can also become endearing in some circumstances. It can refer to the absurdity of reality. And yeah, sometimes it can be, in a context, a term of endearment. Motherfucker. There are a lot of motherfuckers that listen to me now. Well, maybe not a lot, but a few motherfuckers. And I am beginning to consider some of these people, even though it's that long distance thingy, that knowing them through email and messages, so you're not always sure if they're a fucking human. But a lot of these people I'm considering friends. And so if I call you a motherfucker, I mean that with all love. Now, in the last many minutes or so, we've discussed one word, and that's the word fuck. And what we've learned is, like I said, depending upon context, depending upon circumstance, depending upon the person you're talking to, the word fuck can mean many different things. And it turns out that living languages, real languages, natural languages are context-sensitive grammars. This is a kind of grammar, and it's a little bit of computer science here, and I'm really fucking sorry, but and in that context, fucking sorry is a modifier. It's meant to take sorry and enhance it, like MSG. You can think of fuck in the context of fucking, in this sense, as like MSG for food, man. If you go to an Asian restaurant, they put the Asian magic in there, and that's the MSG. So think of it as MSG. But yeah, when I use that term in certain contexts, I'm using it in a friendly sense. Context-sensitive grammars are grammars that require context, which means a situation, or as Marvin Minsky would say, a frame. You can call it a frame of reference if you want to. Grammars kind of fall into those two basic categories. I mean, technically speaking, the Chomsky hierarchy is this. There are regular languages, which are basically languages that you can define with a finite state machine. You want to know what a finite state machine is? Please look it up, motherfucker. That's the first category of languages, and that is the simplest language. That is the language of repetition, addition, and alteration, which means that it's the language of combining things together, repeating them, or switching between things. And so if you're a computer programmer and you know what a regular expression is, the first category in the Chomsky hierarchy are regular languages, and you work with those. The second category are those languages that can be processed by a push-down automata or a PDA or a stack. These are called, also sometimes called, stack-based languages. And often, certain grammars are defined in terms of a stack-based language. So, for example, there is a language used to send information across the internet called XML. And in point of fact, technically speaking, HTML, which is the language that defines the rendering of your web browser, you know, the images, the words, the fonts, the colors, that's HTML, motherfucker. And in that context, that's also a push-down stack language. All that means is you can use a stack, which is an abstract data structure, to process the language. So yes, there are many stack-based languages, and that's category number two. Motherfucker. Category three is when you get into, and I think this is the third category, I could be wrong, is when you get into context free grammars. And these are grammars that can be defined using the Chomsky language definition or the Chomsky grammar. But context free means that it means what it means irrespective of the circumstance. For example, computer languages are considered context-free grammars, okay? There should be very little context sensitivity, or rather zero, in a computer language. And that includes even languages that are sometimes called declarative languages, like, for example, Prolog or SQL. When you write SQL, you're not exactly telling SQL Server how you want it to implement an index or a scan or a search. You're actually leaving it up to its optimizer to do so. And in that sense, SQL is a declarative language. You are declaring. You're saying, slave, go dig the ditch. That's how SQL operates. How the computer digs the ditch is its own fucking business. And actually, a lot of human languages can be thought of as relatively context-free depending upon the circumstance. For example, if you've ever been an officer in the military and you've written a fucking operations order, you need to write it in the army style, which means only active voice. And in that sense, a five-paragraph operations order can very much look like a computer program. It's not exactly like a computer program, of course, but it is relatively context-free. Believe me, when you're writing a military operations order, when you're creating a military plan, you don't want to be Percy fucking Shelley. You don't want to be Shakespeare. It's not a place for poetry or ambiguity, motherfucker. So yeah, even the human language can sometimes be relatively context-free, depending upon circumstance. Then there are the context-sensitive grammars and natural languages. And in a sense, this is the fifth and last category. Sometimes people will talk about Turing complete languages and whatnot. And I don't want to go off on a half-assed notion of formal languages and computer science because I've already bored a lot of you fuckers and I don't want to continue. But the last category is the most complex. And this is the category of natural language. Human language. I would even argue the language of parrots and crows, the language of orca whales, because we're probably not that fucking special in that sense. God being infinite and omniscient and amazing and a truth teller, God creates many things in nature that forces us to ask fucking questions. And so, yeah, I would contend that there probably are other creatures that use languages that are relatively context sensitive. So just because a French bulldog or a crow makes a noise doesn't always mean it means exactly the same thing. But definitely when it comes to humans, we use a lot of language that's ambiguous. Ambiguous as fuck. And again, fuck in this context is a modifier. So, and actually in this specific context, I think it's a quantity. Like it's really, really hugely ambiguous, motherfucker. It's ambiguous as fuck. It's huge. It's so ambiguous. So as fuck or so, in this context, could mean the same thing. So I will leave you with this. For all of you motherfuckers out there, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, for all of you motherfuckers that listen to me, not necessarily agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. There's no rule that says that, nor would I want you to be forced to agree with me. For all of you motherfuckers out there, and some of you fucks who are assholes, yeah, I use the word fuck. I'm not afraid of it. I think it could, yeah, we could approach a period in human history where using the F-bomb, saying fuck, could be illegal. And when that day comes, you know where I'll fucking be. I'll be in some fucking prison someplace because, hey, that's where all the cool motherfuckers will end up. And fuck, that'll be amazing. So have a great day. And, you know, just be careful. And fuck, man. Enjoy yourself.